Hello, my name is Randy Fermenti, and I'm coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky. Today, I'd like to demonstrate a DOS program, which is kind of unusual for main menu. It's called NFB Trans, and it's a freeware grade 2 Braille translation program. It also has some grade 3 capabilities, and it will also back translate a grade 2 file back into text, which is especially useful for those of us who cannot afford a Braille display. So, the first thing to do is tell you where to get the program. I'm in the process of maybe changing ISPs, so I'm not sure how long this address will be valid. But there's other ways to get it. For the latest version, which is 7.70, you can go to www.mindspring, that's mindspring.com/tilde, N like in Nancy, 8 is in the number 8, K is in kilowatt, L is in London, /files/nfbtr770.zip. Or you can just put the /files in there, and then you can see what other files I happen to have on that site at that time. So I happen to have a copy of the NFBTR770.zip on my drive. And if you want a brief history of it, back in the early 90s, I don't know if it was around 91 or 93, the NFB released the source code for NFB Trans. And I've sort of taken it over. I know C very well, and I happen to like programming in DOS. I do know Windows, but I use DOS when I can. In fact, I'm using a slow machine now. It's a Pentium 166 with Windows 95, and I'm recording it on cassette, and then I'm going to do the audio editing with Total Recorder 4.0. I just got the upgrade registered copy. And it's sort of the poor man's sound forts. You can actually do some sound editing. There's some problems. I'm still dealing with support at high criteria. I'm not sure it's the fault of Total Recorder, but it could be the fact that my machine is so slow. Anyway, that's what we're doing. So the first step is to extract the files from the archive. So I'm using an Audapter synthesizer, and all of this is being done through my line-in and mic on the sound card, so hopefully it'll sound reasonable. So this may be the first time that people have heard DOS, since many people do not have hardware synthesizers. So here we go.
D colon, D greater than, CD, backslash, trans, D greater than, CD.
Okay, I changed the to the directory containing the zip file, and I'll go back to my RAM drive here.
H:H:N.
And I'll type in pk unzip.
Unzip. D:N. NFBTR770. Unzip left arrow and arrow right. Review. Inflating colon. Exit.
Okay, and so everything was inflated or extracted. There's no reason to play it all. I'm using Vocalize, and like I say, an Audapter synthesizer from Personal Data. It's a very old synthesizer. Anyway, in this archive, there are many files you don't need. NFB Trans is distributed with C source, and there's a little bit of assembly language for the PC speaker sounds. So the average person doesn't need those. And I have a, with the archive is a program called install.bat. It doesn't install it in the sense of a Windows program. It certainly doesn't do anything to your registry. But if you want to just copy the files you need, you can just run it. And the way you run it is you type in install.
Install.
And then the next parameter is where you want it, so I'm going to put it in D colon.
D colon, backslash. Temp backslash.
C:\temp\nfb-trans.
Trans installation program. Dispatch file will copy. Trans files to B:\temp\trans and create the file. Trans point txt from trans point fmt with 80 columns per line and 56 lines per page period. Trans point cnf will not be overwritten if it already exists period. Press any key to continue period. Creating B:\temp\trans, copying readme point txt, copying trans point exe, copying braille point tab, copying back point tab, copying macadoc point mat, copying trans point fmt, copying english point dic, copying spell point fat, copying trans point cnf, creating B:\temp\trans point txt, please make period h greater than.
Okay, and so it did all that. There are basically, I guess, three files required to run nfb-trans. The first one is nfb-trans.exe, which is the executable. The next one is nfb-trans.cnf, which is a configuration file. We'll get to that a little later. It has the configuration options, and you can customize the what amounts of the user interface in DOS. The other two files you need are braille.tab, which is the forward translation table rules. That's a text file. And the other file you may want is back.tab, which is the back translation text file. These text files are a little bit complicated, but they actually can be modified by the user if you want to take the time to learn how to apply the rules in the table. I think they're probably easier to use in some of the other tables, like in Turbo Braille. That's a very good program, although I'm not sure the tables are as easy for the average person to modify as these, but it all depends on your abilities, I suppose. There are two other files that are of interest. One is spell.dat. NFB-trans actually has a spell checker in it. It uses a dictionary, which is in the binary file spell.dat. And you can actually add to the dictionary. You can do things like store a list of words that it could not find. It's by no means a complete dictionary, but it's kind of interesting. And the other program is called English.dic. That's the hyphenation dictionary. Actually, hyphenation in Braille is a little bit complicated. For the average user, unless you're transcribing for production to the standards of NLS, NFB-trans will do a very good job. If you want perfect NLS-compatible books, then possibly Duxbury maybe what you want, although you're going to pay, you know, big bucks for that. But for the average person, brailing out menus, anything you want, NFB-trans is more than adequate. The other files that are copied is the readme.txt, which is a short explanation of the program. The other file is nfbtrans.fmt, which contains all the formatting commands so that you can do things like emboss it to a brailler, embosser, or to a printer. In this case, the installation batch file created nfbtrans.txt, which is an 80-column file that can be printed, or you can just read it with your text editor. So, NFB-trans can be run in several ways. It's a DOS program, but it actually can be run in such a way that you can just click on a file in Windows Explorer, for example, a .brf file, and it can automatically translate it, back translate into a .txt file. But since it is a DOS program, I think I'll let you hear how it sounds in DOS. Because if you have Windows XP, I guess you can use the command prompt and maybe get the same sort of output. I would explain that the syntax of NFB-trans is NFB-trans, and then plus options. And after all the options are the file names you want to translate. The action of NFB trans sort of depends on the extension of the file. For example, if you translate a C file, C files are considered program files, and they're output in grade in computer braille with a few sort of non-standard features that tell you the case of the letters and so forth. There are special extensions for Unix man pages, which allow you to print out Unix man pages better. So the options that are actually used, to some extent, depend on the extensions, and that is all set up in nfbtrans.cnf. To really understand the program, it sort of points out some of the advantages over that Windows programs have over DOS. In many ways, the program isn't as user-friendly as some of these Windows programs that have everything broken up properly into menus and so forth. So it sort of points out the differences between DOS and Windows programs. Although NFB Trans is quite flexible if you want to take the time to learn all the commands and so forth. The options are not quite normal DOS options. They consist of two letters followed by an equal sign and then followed by a parameter. For example, if you typed in NFB trans space PW equals 40 and then the file name, that means the page width equals 40. And all of these options are listed in the file that the installation batch file creates, which is nfbtrans.txt. These options can be in any number of places. They can be usually in nfbtrans.cnf. They can actually be in the table files, which are either back.tab or braille.tab, or they can be on the command line, or they can just apply to certain extensions. So I think what I'll do to give you an idea of what the program is capable of doing, I will first show you how to back translate a file in DOS. So, we're going to type it in here and see what happens.
Trans, please select 1-translate a text file, 2-MSA file that has already been translated, 3-back translate a grade 2 file, choice question 1.
Okay, one is the default. This is all configurable with nfbtrans.cnf, so we'll choose 3 to back translate a file.
3, enter source file name less than return greater than to exit question.
Okay, I have a file from WebBraille about cats. I even forget the name of it. I like animal stories, so I happen to call it...
L:\.
Let me see, cat 1-1.
Cat 1-1, period. BRF, enter name of file to create question.
Let me see, we're in H, so I'll type in
cat11.txt. TXT, writing to file-h:\cat11.txt on page 1, on page 2, on page 3, on page 4, on page 5, on page 6, 4.
And that clicking in the background is actually the program processing the Braille pages. You can either turn that on or off. I sort of like it because it is the way of knowing that there's progress being made rather than the program crashing. Anyway, so that took the BRF file, which is equivalent to one Braille volume, and it converted into a pretty error-free... Text file. So we'll just take a listen here to what this text file is. I'm using something called QEdit. I'll do some Windows stuff a little later, but since I'm in DOS, I'll use QEdit. So the file is
T11.txt.
Cats and Their Culture by Elizabeth Marshall Thomas. And it just goes on and on. We could read it here, but it just converted that to a text file.
flashlight, parent left, escape, H greater than.
Now, when you do this, you'll notice that there's a line-to-line correspondence between the BRF file and the text file. This is customizable by the user. I've left it this way so that if there are errors in the file, you can go back and, for example, if there's a line in 323 of the text file, you can go back to the line 323 of the BRF file and correct the error. Most errors can be corrected by changing the table. Some errors actually would require changes in the source code. Most of the errors I'm finding now are, for example, I just corrected one was his/her because the slash was taken as st, so it was translated as his/her, which is obviously incorrect. So I put that exception into the table. There are probably many other ways to do it, but since there's plenty of room in the table for additional rules, that's just what I did. So it will translate a book like this with very few errors, maybe even no errors, or one or two. Like I say, you can reformat the output to make it more readable. I normally use this with Eloquence to read Web Braille files. And now, just for completeness, I will retranslate cat11.txt into test.brf.
Trans, please select 1-translate a text file to 1, enter source file name less than return greater than to exit question. Cat 11 period, txt starting page question 1.
And you can, this is all selectable also, you can have it prompt for the starting page all the time.
Please select 1-translate and store in a file or 2-translate and emboss immediately period chase question 2. 1. Enter name of file to create question. Test period. BRF writing to file dash test. Write BRF on page 1, on page 2, 4. On page 7, 1, on page 7, 2, on page 1, 1, 1, on page 1, 4, 2, on page greater than.
Okay, that was actually pretty fast. I know there were people that mentioned that the Turbo Braille program was faster than NFB Trans. That all depends on how you compile it. I've happened to compile it with a version of Microsoft C I have, a very old version. If you compile it with something called DGP, or GPP, which is sort of the GNU C compiler for DOS, it'll run much faster, although the program size is a little bit greater. So, anyway, it's plenty fast for most people. And like I said, I'm only using the Pentium 166. Now, you might notice that the BRF file that the thing created does not exactly compare with the original .brf file. This is for many reasons. For one reason, I've chosen in the options that are in back.tab to remove page numbers. Since when I'm reading it, just I normally read like nonfiction, just read for entertainment. So I really don't care what page numbers are what. I don't want to listen to that sort of stuff. So I told the thing to remove page numbers. It'll check to see if it's a valid. If it thinks it's a valid page number, it will remove it when it back translates. So obviously the BRF file that it created will not compare. The other problem is some, for example, with Bookshare. You can have .brf files from Bookshare, but unless the file is correct in the first place, it's not going to translate properly. For example, I noticed in one Bookshare when I was on the beta list, they had a .brf file and had an email address. Instead of a .46 for a period, it had a drop D, and NFB Trans translated that into a DD because it was between two letters. So things like that, if the BRF file is not up to NLS standards, or if it's not a correct BRF file, then it's obviously not going to translate properly either. So it's sort of garbage in, garbage out. Okay, well, now we'll go into Microsoft Word here and look at some of the configuration options. The nfbtrans.cnf file is just a text file that Microsoft Word seems to open okay. Sometimes I understand you might have to put things in quotes to open a file with a non-standard extension, but it seems to open just the way it is. And I'll briefly review some of the settings that you can set, because if you're going to emboss with nfbtrans, you have to make sure that it's outputting the proper number of lines or lines per page and characters per line. Otherwise, you'll get divided words where you don't want them. Basically, you want nfbtrans to do all the word wrapping, and you don't want your you want that feature turned off on your embosser. So we're still in DOS here, so we'll type in exit.
Taskbar. Start menu. Button start menu closed. Microsoft Word alert task. ID. Rich edit file name open. Arrow.
Okay, the file, remember, is at D colon.
Open. Backslash. T-E-M-E. Backslash. N-F-B-T-R-A-N-S. Backslash. N-F-B-T-R-A-N-S. Period C-N-F. Custom control. Our class. Microsoft Word. Document. Microsoft Word. Microsoft Word. IB. Sam. Configuration. File.
Okay, we're back in Microsoft Word here. I had to set the printer to the Office Chat. Even though I'm not printing, it doesn't seem to want to read Microsoft Word properly unless it's set that way. I had it to generic text. I'm not exactly sure why. Anyway, we've loaded the nfbtrans.cnf file. You'll notice that this is a text file. Any lines beginning with semicolons or pound symbols are comments and are ignored. And this, I'll just briefly, I turned on punctuation here, I'll just briefly go through some of this file, and it'll give you an idea of what you need to set up before you run nfbtrans, especially if you're going to emboss the file.
Semicolon, place beginning with semicolon, or our comments, period. Semicolon, blank place are ignored, period. Semicolon, entries are of the form XX string optional comments, period. Semicolon, XX is space insensitive, but string is not, period. Blank. CL32 maximum length of centered lines.
Okay, that's CL equals 32. That's the maximum length of centered lines. You can center lines by issuing what are called nfbtrans formatting commands. Nfbtrans formatting commands are placed in the text file to be embossed, and you can always tell a formatting command because it begins with a tilde character. So in other words, if you type in tilde C, this is a centered line, the this is a centered line will be centered on the page that's embossed.
Colon number of copies.
Normally this is one. You can make several copies if you're doing a set of menus or handouts. You can make more than one copy, but this is always set to one usually.
CS35 characters or intercon emboss per second set for Juliet.
Now, nfbtrans is capable of outputting a statistics file, and that file contains a lot of entertaining information about the file that you just translated or embossed. And one of the things it can do is it can give you an estimate of the time needed to emboss the file, which is sort of important. On a large file, it could take several hours. And in order to properly calculate the time, you have to know, it has to know the speed of your embosser. Now this is the actual speed, not the speed that the manufacturers like to brag about. So my Juliet embosser, which sort of needs repair now, the closest I could come to that was about 35 characters a second. And that depends, of course, if you're doing interpoint or how wide the margins are. So it's not always possible to get an exact speed for an embosser. But for that printer, or for that embosser, if you choose 35, it'll pretty well calculate exactly what it's going to be. So it may have to be set differently for your embosser.
DB0, don't display mail.
You can have NFB Trans display the Braille file when it's translated. Normally for a blind person, it wouldn't make much sense to do that. It just is in there, mostly left over from the old Pascal days.
DS0 boot display source.
And the same thing for the text. You can actually have it show the text as it's being translated, which isn't terribly useful.
F1 process external format. Find if it exists, period.
Well, there's another option called EF equals, and you can have an external format file, and it can do formatting commands depending on the line number of the input file. It's actually a powerful feature, but it's probably more than you really want to know about it right now. But that's all explained in the documentation.
F1 expand tabs.
You can have it expand tabs. This is sort of useful in doing Unix man pages. Normally, it doesn't really matter.
FP1 number pages beginning with first page.
Sometimes people like their first pages numbered, page one numbered, and some don't. You can either turn that on or off. FP equals 0 or 1.
Semicolon HP English dot dip.
You can choose to have NFB Trans use English dot dic to hyphenate a file. That dictionary is by no means complete, and there are special rules depending on the endings of words, whether you want which contraction should or shouldn't be used. I know when I'm taking the literary proofreading course, and that seems to be pretty important to the instructors. I'm sort of turned off by it all, and I probably wouldn't want a job where you had to worry about hyphenation of words. I found that it doesn't really save a lot of space, and for some words that are obviously needed to be hyphenated, such as compound words like football or something like that, that's one thing, but to actually look it up in a dictionary and waste time doing that while you're transcribing something, I think is kind of a waste of time, but that's just my personal opinion. And as you can tell, that was commented out. The next option here is
HK1 hotkeys enabled.
Is HK equals 1. It's not saying the equal sign. The inputs that either take a yes or no answer or a single digit, you can either have to press return or else just press the key.
Semicolon HM with key hyphen mode.
Hyphen mode, it's somewhat complicated. You can choose how it hyphenates. For example, you can tell it how many hyphens you can have in a row, how many you can have on a page. You can tell it things like if it should hyphenate a last word on a page, which is not according to NLS standards. There are different ways of configuring the hyphenation, which is interesting, but most people won't care. IP equals 0, interpoint equals off. If it's on, it will only number odd pages. If it's off, it'll number all pages. And I'm not sure that there's any other difference. There may be, but some of those things I've programmed into it, but it's been so many years since I've messed with it, it's like I've forgotten it.
LM on left margin.
You can set the left margin, LM equals 1.
LSF use for reads between pages.
You can LS for line skips. You can tell it to use form feeds between pages.
NC1 no copyright message displayed.
You can have it not display a copyright message, which the program is really freeware. It's really not copywritten per se. I don't know what the legalities are.
Zero prompt before overwriting. Output find if it exists.
You can tell it to either prompt or not prompt to overwrite the output file if it exists. I usually have it overwrite it because I just am used to it having it that way.
Zero don't print the current date at top of first page.
You can elect to have the program print the date and the file name at the top of the first page. So PD equals 0 turns it off, and PF equals 0 for print file equals off. This is kind of useful if you're, especially if you have a job and you print a lot of things and you want to know what you printed and when. If you have to be that organized, it's somewhat useful to know that. you can set the ending page. It's set to 99.99, which means that it'll only ask you for the starting page. When you specify a page range, you can put a comma. For example, the starting page is 1, 5, and it'll do 1 through 5.
PF0, don't print file name at top of first page.
We have the PF equals 0, don't print file top of first page.
PL 25 lines per page.
Lines per page is 25, PL equals 25.
PL will do 40 line length.
Line length is 40. The Blazor, I don't think, can handle that, whereas the Juliet can handle up to 43 or maybe even 44 characters per line, depending on how you like your margins and how you're going to bind your emboss material.
QM0, quiet mode off, comma, output progress messages.
Well, there you have it. Quiet mode equals 0. You can tell the program what to output and what not to output. You can rejoin hyphenated words. If there's a hyphenated word in the text you want to translate, it will search the hyphenation dictionary, and if it's there, it will try to combine the word, and if there's not room on the Braille line for it, it'll rehyphenate the word.
Semicolon, S0, the end instructs Juliet printer to ignore form feed in school mode. Semicolon, SM20.
NFB Trans is capable of sending the output to the printer spool file in DOS, and you can tell it to print more than one file at a time. That's where the S0 option is. You can read about that in the README file. The SM equals option, you can specify what data you want in the statistics file. The statistics file is actually kind of interesting. It tells things like how fast the file, how long it took to translate or back translate. It tells how many characters in the file, both input and output, and gives a percentage. Usually, when you convert a file from text to grade 2, it can vary, but it's roughly 80%. In other words, a file of 1,000 bytes of text converts to roughly 800 of grade 2. You can also have it tell things like how many .1s there are in the file. It's kind of silly. How many .2s, how many .3s, what percent. And it usually works out to .1 and .2, I think, being the most. It's just kind of silly. You can either have that displayed or not. This statistics file is appended to, if you enable it, and it can be put anywhere, either on the root of your hard drive or in the any directory that you specify. There's also an option called sound enabled, SO, and equals, and there's several choices for that. You can either have it display the clicks per page or not. And the last option that might be of general interest is the ST equals statistics file. That's where you can specify a statistics file. So if you want that file, you do it in two places. The ST actually tells the files the name of the file that you're, the thing's going to create or append to. And the SM, which is statistics mode, tells you which information is going to be stored in the file. Now, one of the things that is bad about this program, whereas Windows could be a little bit better, is that some of the options require integer arguments, and the different bit positions of the integers tell the program what to do with it. For example, if bit 0 is set, that means that the 1 is on. If bit 1 is set, that means you add 2. So in other words, if you had the integer 3, you could say that bit 1 and 0 are both set. Many people don't understand that, and in Windows, I'm sure you could have checkboxes, and one day if I ever get around to writing this in Windows, or someone else can feel free to, maybe they would be easier to use. And the last thing I want to talk about in this section of it is make sure that you save the nfbtrans.cnf file. And the other thing is to make sure that you put nfbtrans in your path. either in the path statement for autoexec.bat, or I believe you can put it in config.sys. The last thing I want to talk about is how to run NFB trans in Windows. It's a DOS program, and it's not going to speak like a well-behaved Windows program, but you can set it up so that you can click on a .brf file in Explorer, regardless of what directory the file's in, and you can tell it to put it in a specified directory on your hard drive so that any file that you translate in this way will be in a given spot. And the file will have the same name. For example, if it was test.brf, the file that it creates will be in the specified directory and it will have the same name, test.txt. So the way you do that, I've already done that, so we'll just go over what I've already done. You go into Windows Explorer, and I believe there are some differences, but this is Windows 95, and so it's an older version of Explorer.
I
still have WebFerret in there. I haven't removed it, so...
Windows Explorer, menu close, button, start. List new contents of C, our task, close folder, alpha, file folder, 7-24-99.
So what's going on about that. We'll go into the View menu.
V equals new pull down, T equals trooper.
And we'll go into the Options.
O, menu closed, radio button, check, hidden files, S equals from all files. Tab control, U, 9 of 2.
We'll go into the next property sheet, which is Types.
Property sheet, file types, 2 of 2.
Okay, and we'll go into the...
List new, T equals registered file types, address web file, 9 of 224.
224 file types, and I know the definition is a Braille format file, so we'll type in B, and hopefully we'll get close to it here.
B, data set for Microsoft, data, 9, B, with fax, row, new fax, B, with map image, 11 of 224, B, Braille format file, 12 of 224.
And so that's what we want.
Button, N equals new type, dialogue.
We don't want a new type.
Button, R equals remove.
Button,
E equals edit, dialogue.
We'll go ahead and edit that because that way you can tell what I've already put there.
Button, I equals change the time. Dialogue, edit file type, close box, grab it, edit box, D equals description of type, Braille format file.
That can be anything, but it's Braille format file.
Tumble, edit box, D equals content type, MIME application, 9 of 9.
The content type MIME application seems to be important when you use Web Braille and you decide to download a volume of a book. If that's not set, sometimes instead of downloading, it will just display it, and you'll have to save it in Explorer. So,
combo box X equals default extension for content type dot BRF 9 of 9.
That's obvious.
List new A equals actions open 9 of 9.
It's going to open the file.
Button N equals new dialog.
We don't want to add anything new.
Button E equals edit dialog.
We want to edit this.
Edit box, L equals application news to perform action, from CC tools trans, dot XCTM 13.8.2, dialogue, edit it.
Okay, this is kind of important. The application that you want to perform this action, and what we want to do is start the command processor, which is c:\command.com, and you want to start it with a slash C parameter, which means that it will execute and then exit back to Windows. The next parameter after the slash C space and then is the actual path of NFB trans, which in my case happens to be c:\tools\nfbtrans.exe. Then follow that by TM equals 1-3, which specifies back translation. And the next option is OD equals, in my case it's h:. In other words, it probably should be h:\. That's where you want the output to be stored. And then the next thing is on, like in Nancy, equals 2. And that tells the program to use the same output name. It's for output name as the name of the input file, except instead of a .brf extension, it'll be a .txt extension. So for Windows XP or other operating systems, that will probably have to be changed because I don't know enough about the command processor in Windows XP. but I'm sure it can be done. And I also had a problem with the person using a Windows emulator on a Mac. We weren't sure exactly how to invoke the command processor there, but there's enough information that if you know what you're doing, you can get this to work. So we're now out of that edit menu. There's a couple other things you want to make sure of here, too.
Button R equals removed.
Don't want to do that.
Checkbox checked. O equals confirm open after download.
You want to make sure that's checked.
Checkbox checked. W equals always show extension.
That should be checked.
Button OK. Button cancel. Button I equals change icon.
And we're back to the OK.
Button cancel.
So I'll just cancel that.
Property sheet, options, L, close box, view, file types, T equals registered file types, grab with animated cursor, grab with application, grab with.
And what I'll do now here is, let's see here.
Options.
I'll get out of Explorer.
Explorer, see, list view, contents. Desktop, list view, my start menu.
I'll go back into DOS with my alt
menu closed, button, start.
D shortcut.
MS plus lamp Morse. C greater than.
And that little Morse code was just said DB for DOSBox. And what we'll do here is go back to H, which is happens to be my RAM drive.
H colon, H greater than.
And we'll just get rid of all the stuff in there.
Del, star, period, star, all files, Y, H greater than.
And then we'll exit back into Windows.
Taskbar.
And let me see, we'll go into the start menu and start Windows Explorer again.
W, Windows Explorer. Menu closed, button, Explorer, C. List new contents of C, closed folder, alpha file.
And,
3 new all folders, hard drive, C. List new. 3 new all folders, hard drive, C, expanded, 70 items, 2 of 12. Hard drive, C, closed, 2 of 12. Hard drive, D, closed, 3 of 12. Hard drive, D, expanded, 62 items, 3 of 12. List new contents of the closed folder, R and back, file folder, C, plan, file, C, checks, file folder, C, commit, file folder, C, come out, file folder, 9/22/97, 12:48 p.m. List new contents of come out, closed folder, backup, file, D, DL, file folder, 5/1/99/10/17 a.m., 2/1/144. Our task, list new contents of DL, closed folder, row 1 files, file folder, 76013500503.txt, 19kb, text, 009246b01.brf, 210kb, RAW format file, 10/17/99, 12 p.m., 6/1300.
Okay, I've navigated with Windows Explorer to a BRF file, kind of the complicated way, and now I've highlighted the BRF file. I'm not even sure what it is.
MS plus lamp trans. Exploring DL, list new contents of DL, 09246B01.BRF200.
Okay, so what that did, you probably heard it clicking in the background. I left the clicks on because I want to know it's actually doing something. It actually invoked NFB trans. It did not prompt you for anything. It used the .brf file as input and produced the proper text file. So just to see what that file was, we'll just go ahead and exit out of Windows Explorer.
Desktop, list new, my computer,
and
I'm 30,
we'll restart DOS, since I'm sure not many people have heard DOS.
Start menu, menu close, button, start, MS plus RAM Morse, C greater than.
Okay, we'll go back into the H drive, which is my RAM drive.
H colon, H greater than.
And we'll do a Q edit on star.txt.
Q, star, period, TX, 0.246B01.txt.
Okay. So we're editing that file.
Standard First Aid by American Red Cross.
Standard First Aid by American Red Cross.
Volume 1 of 2 volumes. Rate pages D1-D2A and 1-172. Rate pages D1-B108-109.
So you could have done the same thing. So basically, even though it's not a Windows program, set up properly, you can just click on the .brf file and it'll automatically translate. So again, if you have any questions about this program, you can email me at n8kl@mindspring.com, or again, the website to get NFB Trans along with several other programs is www.mindspring.com/tilde n8kl/files/nfbtr770.zip.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu. It's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all of the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Mosen, inviting you to join us again for another Main Menu.